Daf Yevashem Yisbarach and Daf Lamed Aleph on the base, about 6 lines on top of the Mishnah, with the words the Ein Chayavin Al Shegigasa. The carbon for Shavuos Eidos is the carbon Oila V'Yoyred, the carbon that is based on the financial madrega of the individual that has to bring the carbon. It can either be an animal, it can either be a bird, it can either be silas. It all depends on who the person is that has to bring the carbon. Now, there are 3 situations that result in a carbon oila v'yoyred. They are Shavuos Eidos, as we know it over here in our Perek. There is Shavuos Bitui, the regular Shavuot. And there is also Tumas Migdash V'Kachav. Now, the carbon oil of the Yared in regard to Tumas Migdash V'Kachav and the carbon oil of the Yared in regard to Shavuos Bitui, and as a matter of fact in regard to virtually all chatois, is only when a person does an Aveira B'Shoigeg. All over Shas, when we say carbon chatos, that means an Aveira that was done B'Shoigeg. B'Nezid, there is no carbon. The exception to that is Shavuos Eidos. When we say that a person has to bring a carbon when he violates the Shavuos Eidos concept, that is bedafka when he violates it, benezit. The reason is, in all the other areas where the Pasuk discusses the carbon, the Pasuk says, vinelam, he forgot. And in regard to Shavuos Eidos, the Pasuk does not say vinelam, but he forgot. He did not forget. He says, I don't know any Eidos for you. He either swears to the fact on his own, or he responds to the other person who is being mashbia him, but whatever the case is, he's doing this willfully, he's doing this b'mezit, and he is chayav a carbon when eventually he will acknowledge that he was wrong. Now, our Mishnah concluded, we see now the Gemara inside, the ein chayavin al shegigasa gredesa. If the person is an outright shaygeg in this Shavuos Eidos, then there is no chayav for the carbon. Now, Rashi in the Mishnah explained this, that if a person swears, I don't know any Eidos, and he taka thinks that he doesn't know any Eidos, he forgot that he does know the Eidos, that he could testify, in that case he is not chayv a carbon. Now, previously in Daf Chavav Amid Aleph, and actually this Gemara appears several places, we learned that Rav Asi and Rav Kahana had an argument. It wasn't a mundane argument, it was an argument as to what the Rav said in regard to a specific topic. And each one was so sure that they were right, and they wanted to bring across the point that the halacha is the way they heard it from Rav. So each one swore and said, I swear that the Rav said like this. And the other said, I swear that the Rav said like that. The Gemara tells us, when Rav finally came, he said that, I hear what your argument is, but the truth is I really said like one of them. The Gemara does not tell us which one was right and which one is wrong, apparently to protect their integrity. But whoever was wrong frantically cried out, does that mean that I lied? I swore sheker? So Rav said, no, chas v'shalom. None of you were over any asura. A shvur means when a person is lying. You weren't lying. You thought that you're saying the truth. Each one of you swore what your impression of the truth was, and that does not constitute a shvur sheker. Shvur sheker means when a person knows that he's lying. Now, what's bothering our Gemara over here is that apparently that was Rav's chiddush. Rav's chiddush was neither Rav Kahana or Rav Asi should feel bad if they were wrong. And again, the Gemara doesn't tell us which one was wrong. One of them swore that Rav said one thing when he didn't. Rav said a great chiddush, none of you lied, because each one of you in your own heart swore to something that you thought was the truth. Now, apparently, that's a Befeirush Mishnah. We're now saying over here in regard to Shavuos Eidos, that if somebody swears, I don't know any Eidos for you, he is not chayav a carbon. Because if he really thinks they didn't know any Eidos, he didn't lie. So lame the fact the Gemara Tinyan that of Kahana that of Asi. Apparently that whole controversy between of Kahana and of Asi is right over here in the Mishnah. And for the Gemara Lame, Afelgab Detnan, even though this Mishnah already tells us that chiddush in regard to Shavuos Eidos, that if he thought he is saying the truth, he is not chayav to bring a carbon because that does not constitute a Shavuos Sheker. It's Rav still had to tell Rav Kahana and Rav Asi to comfort the one that was wrong by saying that you did not lie. Because this Mishnah would have not been enough. Salkadai Tachamin, I would have thought, Hachahu, over here in regard to Shavuos Eidos, the loikse vinela. The Pasuk does not say vinelam that he forgot. Shavuos Eidos is an outright lie. Only then is there a carbon. The Mela, I would think, where he forgot that he knows Eidos, he is not chayiv, because the de'inan shoygeg dum yedemezit. The only type of shoygeg in Shavuos Eidus where he would be chayiv is if, let us say, he knew that he knows Eidus. He swore that he didn't know any Eidus, but he thought there's no carbon. That's a different kind of a shoygeg. That's a shoygeg dum yedemezit, because he's amazed, he knows that he's lying. But where he thinks that he is saying the truth, that is bechlal not in the pasha of Shavuos Eidus. Because Shavuos Eidus has to be a willful, negligent lie. Aval Hasan, but over there in regard to Shvias Bitul, as the case was between Rav Asi and Rav Kahana, the Chsiv and Ella, there in regard to Shvias Bitul, if a person b'shoigeg swears false, he does have to bring a carbon. The Pasuk says v'nelam, if he forgot. So I would think a filosh kigasa kaldehu, any type of a shoigeg. If a person swears Rav said chayif, and indeed he thinks Rav said chayif, he should still be mechuyev in a carbon. Because shkigasa kaldehu, you made a mistake, the pasuk says v'nelam, for any type of a mistake, there is a chayif carbon. Kamash Malan, therefore Rav comforted the one that was wrong and said, don't worry, you were not oyver shuas shaker. Even though the pasuk says v'nelam, that one is chayev a carbon for an unwillful shuas bitui, there are different types of shoygeg in regard to shvua, but what you either of Kahan or of Asi swore to is not even considered a shvua b'shoygeg, because you swore that I said one way and you believed that I said one way. Memela, that's a true shvua. The fact is wrong. I said it differently. But your shvua is not a shvua sheker, not even b'shoygeg. And the Ritaisa says we don't have to make a notation that when the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built, you have to bring a chatos shmeina. Now, once again, Rashi in the Mishnah learns, when our Mishnah says, the ein chiyoven al shigigasa gredesa in regard to Shavuos Eidus, that means that if Shimon comes to Reuben and he says, Reuben, come and testify on my behalf, and Reuben says, I swear I know nothing, and he thinks that he knows nothing, in that case he is potter. Now, the problem that some Nishonim have with this pshat is, of course he's potter. What is Reuben saying? I swear that I don't know any testimony. Now, if at this point he forgot that he knows testimony, then what he's saying is true. At the time of his shvua, he does not know any testimony. He forgot it. So, of course, he's potter. So, Tosfos explains what he says is as follows. He doesn't just say, I swear I don't know any testimony, because that's a true shvua. If he forgot it, that means he doesn't know now. But he's swearing, I never knew any testimony, and I can't testify for you. Now, why did he have to say that? I never knew any testimony. Now Itaka said something that is not true, because at one point he did know, although now he forgot that he actually knows. And the name of the Chiddush of the Mishnah says Taisvis is even in this case where he swears I never knew any testimony, he is still not chayiv a karb. Now the Ran explains that what Rashi means is that we don't have to say that the lashon of the shul was I never knew any testimony. What is our kasha? Our kasha, according to Rashi, is how could the Mishnah possibly tell me a chiddush? But if somebody says, I don't know any testimony, he swears to that effect, and Itaka forgot the testimony, that he is potter. Of course he's potter. He's saying the truth. He swears he doesn't know, and right now he doesn't know. So the Ran is not so simple. Many times a person could swear that he doesn't know, but if he would take the time to think a little bit, to recall, to reflect, to perhaps have a little feeling for another person's problem, then he will realize that he does remember. He remembers. It just didn't make an impression upon him. He never gave it much thought, so it's in his subconscious mind somewhere. So if Reuven saw Shimon stealing $100 from Levi and didn't make an impression upon him, and 3 weeks later, Levi comes and he says, Reuven, come and testify on my behalf. And Reuven at that time doesn't even remember that Shimon stole $100. And Reuven says, I swear to you, I don't know any testimony. It's not shaykh, says the Ran, to ask a kasha, but of course he's potter. If he doesn't remember the testimony, then he's swearing to the truth. Right now he doesn't know any testimony. That's not true. He does know. It's just that he's not being mesiv leiv. He's not thinking. He's not becoming part of the problem. He's just interested in pushing the other side off. He doesn't want to get involved. Indeed, he thinks on the surface that he doesn't remember, but if he would only be Mason Lave, then he would realize that he does know. And in Mela, there is an element of Chiddush over here, when the Mishnah tells us that he is not Chayiv for saying that I don't know, because the truth is that although he thinks he doesn't know, he does know. So those are basically the two shittas that we have in the Mishnah to understand the halacha that one is not chayiv for a shoigeg in Shavuos Eidos. Either the way Tosfos explains that he expresses himself in the lashon, I never knew any Eidos for you and I don't know now. And that, of course, is a false shvua, because at one point he did know, although now he forgot. And the way Rashi says, even if he says, I don't know any Eidos for you now, we cannot say automatically, of course he's Potter, because if he forgot right now, he doesn't know. The truth is, right now he does know. He just thinks he doesn't know. Now, there are other shittas in the Rishayim. The Me'iri brings shittas that the shagig the Mishnah is referring to is where he is aware of the Eidos, but he's a shagig in the sense that he does not know that it is usher to swear. He does not know the concept of shur to Eidos. He doesn't realize what he's getting involved in over here. And this is what the Mishnah means, that he is not chayiv the shoigig greatest, so when he is a shoigig about the shvua. But if, explain these Ashina, the shoigig is that he taka forgot that he knows Eidos, in this case, explains the Me'iri, of course he is potter. Because unlike other shoigegs, unlike other aveiros, which are nesiaches to the maisa, shvuas are only measured by the dibur, by the words. And if you analyze and you look at the words are not false. They are words of truth. If in his heart at that time he believes, if not it's true, is irrelevant, but if he believes that he does not know, in that case the shvua is not a false shvua. And the Meila, these are shown in field, there is a hechrach to say that the Mishnah's referral to a shaygeg is not referring to when a person forgot. It is referring to when a person is a shaygeg, he is not aware of the seriousness of the shvua concept. Look the Mishnah weiter. Shvuas ha'edos keitzah. What is the structure of shvuas ha'edos? What is the scene and what happens? Amar Shnayim, one person comes and he says to two people, Bayu Zihiduni, please come and testify on my behalf. And the response of the two people are, Shvua she'ein anu yoidin lecha edus. We don't know any edus for you. We swear that we don't know any edus. Aisha Amulai, or the two people just answer, Ein anu yoidin lecha edus. We can't testify for you because we don't know any testimony. Here the two Eidim do not mention the word Shvua, but the person that is being Tazeya them does. He says, Mashbiya ani aleicha, I am being Mashbiya you. The Amru Amen, and the two Eidim respond, Amen, we accept this Shvua, Harielu Chayabin, they are Chayiv, if the truth is that they do know Eidus. But it's Dask if they respond, they answer Amen. If the two Eidim were totally quiet after he said, Mashbiya ani aleicha, in that case there is no Kabbalah Shvua. If five times the person came to the Eidim and he said, I am Meshbi'a you to come and testify on my behalf, and they responded, we don't know any Eidus for you. This happened five times. Afterwards, they came to Bezin, and suddenly the two Eidim acknowledged that the truth is we do know Eidus. The two of them, they are potter. Because as the Gemara will explain, the Kfira has to be in Beis Din. It has to be in the Beis Din that the Eidim lie and say we don't know any testimony. However, the Shvua doesn't have to be in Beis Din. In other words, if Shimon came to Reuven and to Levi five times in the street and he said, Mashbiya ani aleichem, that you come and testify on my behalf, and each time they said, we swear we don't know any Shvua for you, and then they came to Beis Din and Kafru, they lied in Beis Din, Chayavin al kol achas v'yachas. They now retroactively become the Chuyav HaKarbin on each one of the Shvuas, on each five times. And this is learned from the Pasuk. V'yoyek yesham li achas me'ela. This teaches us that they are Chayav al kol achas v'yachas. On each time that they accepted the Shvua, there was an independent Chuyav. But the multiple chiyuvim is bedafk in this case, where they accepted the shvuas outside of Beis Din, and then they were kaifer in Beis Din. Masha Enkin continues the Mishnah. Hishbiya alayin hei pamim bifnei Beis Din. If he was mashbiya them five times in Beis Din, come and testify for me, or actually testify for me. There's no need to come because they're in Beis Din. Even if they remained silent during those 5 times that he was mishbiyah that. And the kafu, at the end, they just said, I don't know what you want. I don't know why for 5 times you will mishbiyah us now that we testify. We don't know any testimony. And that turned out to be a lie. Einon chayavin el achas, being that all the shvuas were in Beis Din, they are only chayav once. Amar Rav Shimon Matam, why if the shvuas were in Beis Din, are they only chayav once? Why don't we say the kfira at the end should be nisyaches to each one of the shvuas, as we say the case is if the shvuas were outside of court? And says Rav Shimon, hoyel vi einam yecholim lachzer ulahoydos. And Rashi explains this as follows. Once all the shvuas are in Beis Din, it is difficult to build from one shvua to another. Let us suppose he was mishbiyah them the first time, and they lied immediately. They said, we don't know any testimony. So automatically, they are posuliyates, because the halacha is, kivan shehigit, shevei nechazi magit. If they didn't come to court, and the witnesses make a statement to the effect that they don't know any testimony, they can't change their minds anymore. So even though the fact is that these witnesses said nothing until the person was mishbiyah them 5 times, the point still remains. All of the shvuas, with the exception of the first one, are levatala. They're meaningless. Right at the beginning, when he was mishbiyah them for the first time, testify for me. And they don't answer. Let us consider that shtika a kfira. The lack of their answering means that they're implying we don't know any edus. That means that they can't testify anymore. Once edim say they don't know any edus, they aren't allowed to testify. So they aren't roi lahayit. So it's not shaykh to say that we are going to be mechayiv them again for shuas edus. If an ed is not roi to testify, then he is not the pasha of shuas edus. On the other hand, let us say he's mishbiyah them the first time and they remain silent. They don't see anything. Let us say that that remaining silent is not considered a kfira. So the shvua is chal. They are in Beis Din. They have already accepted the shvua that they don't know any edus. So what's the second shvua? It becomes a shvua on top of the shvua, and there's no place for it to take effect. On the other hand, there is a gzeres akasa that says li achas mi elah, that it is shaykh to have multiple shvuas. Therefore, the obvious thing to say is that is referring to a case where the shvuas aren't chal yet, where it's shaykh to build one shvua on top of the other. One doesn't cancel the other one out. And how would that case be? It would be if he is mashbiyah them 5 times outside of Beis Din. Here it is shaykh to say we can assume all of the shvuas, because even if they were kaifer when he was mashbiyah them the first time and they said we don't know any edus for you, they are still kosher edim. They are still in the parasha of shvuas edus, because it is bedafke in Beis Din. If Aden say that we don't know any edus, that it passes them. That we say, kivan shehigit shevein echazri magit. But being that they are outside of Beis Din, the mele what they say has no bearing on their overall eligibility of being edus. The mele outside of Beis Din, it is shaykh to build one shvu on top of the other. And where we have exerts a concept that says we can be over multiple shvuas, it must be in this case, where he is mashbiyah them 5 times out of Beis Din. Then they come to Beis Din and they lie in Beis Din and they say we don't know any edus. For here, we apply the pasuk of Miachas Mi'ela, and we say they are going to be chayiv not one, but 5 separate karbanis. Now, as we have seen in this Rashi, and as we have seen previously in our perek, the key to the chayiv of Shuas Eidus is the royally hoyed concept. It has to be a situation where if they would testify, it would be an effective testimony. If it wouldn't, then they are not chayiv for lying and refusing to testify. Now, because of that, the Mishnah concludes with a series of halachas. Kafu shneyan ki echad, if both of them deny the edus at the same time, shneyan chayavan, they're both chayav. However, bezeh chazeh, if first one ed denied knowing any testimony, harishan chayav, only the first one is chayav, v'yasheni pater, and the second one is pater. Because being that the first one already denied knowing any testimony, he is not roi to say edus anymore, and the next ed is only an ed echad. Even if he would agree to testify, it would not be effective. Kafir echad, if one of them lied, vihoyd echad, and the other one acknowledged that he did no testimony, ha kafir chayiv, and the kafir is chayiv. being that the other aide never denied his knowledge in Bezin, he is still royally hired. So that means, had this one aide that was Kaifer told the truth, there would have been a keem to this aide. So those are the halachas with one set of aides. If both deny together, then they are both chayit. If one denies after the other one, the second one is potter because he would have not been royally hired anyhow, being that he remains an aid echad. And if it's kaifer echad, the hayd echad, then the kaifer is chayit. Being that the other aid is still intact, it is his lack of aidus that destroys the entire testimony. And the Mishnah concludes, how you stay kiti aidin, if we had two groups of aidin. Kafra rishon v'yachkach kafra hashniyah, stay in chayavis, they are both chayit. And the reason is that Neshe Ha'edus Yechayvili Yiskayim B'Shteya. Even after the first set denied the testimony could have been upheld with the second group. Amishmo. Re'uhu Sheratzach Reyan. If the witnesses see that he is running after them, and before he has a chance to say anything, Amru Lai, they say to him, Ma Ataratzach Reyan, why are you running after us? Shavua She'ein Anu Yaydin L'Cha'edus. We don't know any Edus. Peturim they are potter. Atche yishmu mipiv. They have to hear from his mouth. Come and testify for me. Frek the Gemara, my kumashmulan, what is the chiddush? Tanina, we learned this already. We learned shilach b'yad avdai, if the person is mashbiya them. Via a messenger, he sends the request to his eved, oisha amulahen hanitva. Or if not the plaintiff, but the defendant says to the eden, Mashbiya ani aleichem, I am mashbiya you. She'im atem yoidim loy edus. If you know edus for the plaintiff, for the taiveya, she'tavayu v'taiduhu, you should come and testify on his behalf, on behalf of his baldin. Even if the edim reply, shvua she'ein anu yoidim l'cha edus, hariel peturim, they are potter, ad she'yishmu mipi ha'taiveya. Until the Taizeya himself, the person that is making the claim, it is in Torah, requests from the Aiden that they come and testify for him. It is only if they respond to that, Shvua She'ein Anu Yoidin L'Cha'edus, that they are over the Shvua She'edus concept. Now, if that is the case, the Gemara wants to know, what is Shmuel's Chiddush? Shmuel tells us once again that if the Aiden are walking on the street and they see the plaintiff running after them, and before he has a chance to say anything, they say to him, Shvua She'ein Anu Yoidin L'Cha'edus. Of course they are potter. You have to hear it, me Piat Izeya. And for the Gemara now, there is some element of Chiddush over here in Shmuel's Halacha. Ratzach Reyan Etzrichala. He has to tell me what the Halacha is in the case that Izeya runs after that. Because as far as this other Bereis is concerned, Salkadai Techanina, I would say, Yenachanan, if the Tezeya makes no claim at all, or if he sends it to a shliach, or if the nitva makes the claim, in that case the response of the Edom will not result in a carbon. But over here I would think, even the Ratzach Reyan and Hanani, the Tezeya never had a chance to request that they testified the Teh, but there was some gesture on part of the Tezeya himself, he physically was running after them to get a hold of the Edom and ask them to testify. I would say, even though the Edom responded before he had a chance to verbalize that request, Kemandi Amal Hudami, it should be compared as though he actually did make that request from them. Kamashmala, no. Even though he physically made the gesture he was about to ask, if they were Magdim and they responded with their Shvua before the Tezeya made the request, then the Edom are not Chayiv. Frek the Gemara v'Hanami Tanina, but we learned this as well. We learned in the Mishnah, Shvua Se'edus Ketzad, what is the case of Shvua Se'edus? Amali Edom, he has to say to the Edom, Bayu, the Hiduni, come and testify before me. And they respond, Shvua She'ein Anu Yaydin L'cha Edus. So the Mishnah spells it out clearly. The Tezeya has to verbalize it, he has to say, Bayu, the Hiduni. Amar En, if he says it, yes, Lo Yomar, if he did not say it, lie. Even though he was running after them with the kavana to make that request. And for the Gemara now, from the Mishnah I would have not had a raya that it's bedafka when he makes the request. The Mishnah says, Amar li Eidim, he said to the Eidim, Amar lav dafka, the Mishnah is just giving us a ordinary example. The Eloite Mahachi, if you're not going to say that, but you're going to say that the Amar is dafka, is Gavi Pekad. What about by Shvua Sapikad? Diktani, there we learn Shvua Sapikad and Ketzad. Amalah, he says to the person, Ten li pekadin, given my pekadin, she yashli biyatcha, that you have. So, achinami, we to say, Omar en bedafka, if the person makes an official request, then the shomer is chayev for lying and swearing that he does not have the pekadin. But loy Omar, if the baal hapekadin never actually made a request from the shomer, then the shomer would not be chayev even if he swears that he doesn't have it, loy. If a person swears falsely in regard to a pekadin, in the slightest degree he is chayiv. That is the clear implication of the pasuk. We would have no basis to say that there is only a chayiv when the baal of pekadin officially makes a request and a demand. Aye, it says, Omar, that the baal of pekadin told the shomer, where is my pekadin? The mission is just giving us the normal set of circumstances. The baal of pekadin requests his pekadin, and the response is, I swear I don't have it. So how can I love the afka? The fact that our mission says, Omar, he said to the aid, and come and testify on my behalf, it's love the afka. I would not know from this that the whole concept of shvuah for aid only takes effect when there is an official request from the Tzeveya. And then there was a great chiddush, a shmul salacha, that I would have not known, and that is, even if the Tzeveya is running after the Eidim to call them, if the Eidim make their shmul before the official request, before he verbalizes that request, they are not chayiv. Fregti Gemara Haimai, there is something missing over here. Iyamit Bishloim, if you're going to say, granted, that in our Mishnah, Omad Dehacha, where the Mishnah says, that he said to the Eidim, come and testify behalf, dafka, the Mishnah means clearly that he has to make that official request. So I understand why in regard to Shavuos HaBekadin, we also have that Lashon. Omar, the Baal of HaBekadin, said to the Shomer, Tanahasam Atihacha, we have that Lashon over here, so we have a uniform Lashon. Even though the Omar by Shavuos HaBekadin may be misleading, because there is no need for an official request in order to say that the Baal of HaBekadin is Chayiv, but that's some Mishnayos work. There is a uniform Lashon. Ela Yamrit, but if you are maintaining the way we are saying, that Lo Yomar Dehosan Dafka, and Lo Yomar Dehosa Dafka, even the Omar over here in regard to Shvuos HaEidos is not a Dafka Omar, and that is why we really need Shmuel to tell us the Halacha that there has to be an official request. So Omar, Omar, Lama Lila Misnei, why does the Mishnah use the Lashon Omar if it can only cause problems? And for the Gemara, no, that's not a kasha. Dilma, archa, the nosa kamashmala. Mishnayos, when they describe halachas, they give us the scenarios, they give us the circumstances. The baal of pekadin, or the person that is teveya, comes to the eidim, he comes to the shomer, and he says, please give me back my item, please testify on my behalf, and their response is so-and-so. We don't have to be in the dike from this that it's bedafka if they make an official request. The fact that the Mishnah uses the Lashon of Omar, because usually that's the way it goes. That is the Derech of Mishnah, is to paint a picture for us, to give us the structure of the concept. However, Shmuel is to tell us the Chiddush that in regard to Shmuel's Ha'edus, there is a need for an official request, and without that, there is no legal Shmuel. Tanya Kavasa the Shmuel, says the Gemara, Re'u Shabach Re'en, if the Eidim see that he is coming after that, Amulon, they say to him before he has a chance to say anything, why are you coming after us? We swear to you, we know no edus on your behalf. The two, and they are potter. The yin bepekadin. However, if you would have the same case in regard to a pekadin, chayavim, they would be chayiv, because in regard to shvuos pekadin, there is no need for an official claim. In the Mishnah, we learned hishbia aleihem chamisha pe'amim. If he is mashbiyah the Eidim five times, and then they come to Bezdin and they are kaifer in Bezdin, then he is chayiv. How do I know the akfir of the Bezdin who the mechayvi? They are only chayiv if they are kaifer in Bezdin. But achutz le Bezdin loy mechayvi. The Eidim are not chayiv if they lie outside of Bezdin. Because the pasuk says, in lo yagid, if they don't speak, then v'nasa avoynoi. Lo yamarti lecha, they are not chayiv, ela b'makim she'ilu mayid zeh. If they would speak, then the chayiv zeh mama. Being that the pasuk says the chiyuv for shvius eidos is because in lo yagid, it has to be b'makim that it is roi lahagid, that is dafke in Bezdin. Only if the eidim are kaifer in Bezdin, that they don't know any testimony, are they chayiv in shvius eidos. Amalei of Papali Abaya, ihachi, ein the shvua gufa, the Bezdin en, ushalai the Bezdin loy. We are saying that if they make the shul five times outside of Bezin, that they don't know any eitz, and then they come to Bezin and they lie, they are chayiv on each one of the shuls. But if the pasuk stresses that their denial has to be in Bezin, perhaps the shuls that they make outside of Bezin should have no bearing whatsoever. And for the Gemara Leisal Kedak, the shuls could be chal even outside of Bezin. The Tanya, because we learned in a braisa li'achas, from the word li'achas, this teaches us l'chayiv al kolachas li'achas, that a person is chayiv for each shvur. Now that case is, if he made multiple shvurs outside of Bezin, and then he came to Bezin and he lied. Now the isal kedaitach de Bezin, that you have to make all the shvurs in Bezin, mean l'chayiv al kolachas li'achas. Is it possible to say that he should be chayiv on each shvur? The Atnan we learned in the Mishnah, Hishbiya Leyan Chamisha Pamim Bifne Bezdin, if he was Meshbiya then five times in the Bezdin, the Kafu, and they lied, Ein Chayav in Ela'achas, he is only Chayav once. It can't be any more than once. As the Mishnah explains, Amar Rav Shimon Matam, Hoyel the Einam Yechaylim Lachsor Lihoydais. If the Shvur is made in Bezdin, then at the very first Shvur, the matter has to be settled one way or another. Is the shvur chal, you can't build another shvur on it. If the shvur is not chal, if it is considered a denial at the end of the first time, that makes them possible edim automatically, because once they deny in Bezin that they know edis, they aren't kosher to say edis anymore. So it's not shaykh to say afterwards there should be chayiv again, because they aren't kosher edim again. And yet the pasuk says there is a case where a person can be chayiv in multiple shvuas. So the only circumstance to say that a person is chayiv in multiple shvuas is when the shvuas are made outside of Bezin and the kfira is in Bezin. Those shvuas outside of Bezin aren't chal all the way. It's not a kfira in Bezin that passes them to say edus. And the neighbor shaykh to say one shvuah builds on the other one. So Shmamine, we see from the Psukim that Shvua Chutz LeBezin, the Shvua can be made Chutz LeBezin, and Kfira BeBezin, the Imla Yaga teaches us that the Kfira has to be Dafka in Bezin. Zakti Gemara writes, the Mishnah we learn Kafu Shneyen Kiyachas, if both deny at the same time, Chayavin only then are they Chayiv. And as explained in the Mishnah, because if one of the Yadim denies first, and the other one is left alone, even if that second aid lies, he's not going to be chayiv in shvuah for edus, because as far as that second aid is concerned, he is only an aid echad. And even if he would have testified, if he wouldn't have denied his knowledge of the testimony, he wouldn't have been an effective aid anyhow, because he's only an aid echad. The first one already denied. The nail of the Mishnah said, the only time we can have both aid and chayiv is when kafu shneyen kiyachas, both deny at the very same time. So the Gemara assumes this means at the very same time, at the same split second. In fact, the Gemara Yavshal at something, but it's impossible to say that you can be mechaven two things precisely at the same time. And for the Gemara Amar Rav Chisda, Hamani Rav Yosi Aglili, the Amar who says Evshal at something. Now this machlokes between Rav Yosi Aglili and the Rabbanan is found in the Masechtas Tcharis. There we have a Rachel Shaloi Bichra, the animal is giving birth for the first time, and there are twins. Both come out at the same time. The shaila is, which one is the b'char? Rabbi Yosi Aglili says, they both are, because it's possible to be mitzamsim and to say, we know for a fact, both came out at the same time. The chachamim say it's impossible. One had to have come a split second before the other, and therefore both are only suffix b'chars. In any event, that is Rabbi Yosi Aglili's sheet of b'chal ha-shas, man only in b'chars, that it's possible to say. We can be mechaven and figure out that two things occurred precisely at the same time. Rabbi Yochanan, I mean, Rabbi Yochanan says, I feel a tame Rabbanan. Our Mishnah can work out even according to the Rabbanan who say, Yevshul Tzamsim. It's physically impossible to say two things happen precisely at the same time. To say that both of the Eidim denied exactly at the same second, that is not feasible. But the Mishnah is not requiring that. That's not what the Mishnah means when the Mishnah says, Kafu Shnei and Kiyachas, it has to be precisely at the same second. What the Mishnah means is, Kigan Shekafu Shnei and Betoich Kedei Dibur. Taich Kedei Dibur means the amount of time that it takes to say Shalom Aleich Rebbe. All over Shas, besides for a few exceptions, Taich Kedei Dibur is Kedibur Dami. So Mimela, to say that both Eidim said at the same time Shvur She'einonu Yoedim L'cha Eidus, that is impossible. What the Mishnah means by saying Kafu Shneim Kiyachas is that within the span of time of Taich Kedei Dibur, both Eidim made their statements of denial. Now the Gemara assumes at this point that this means one aid said, Shvur She'ein Anu Yoidin L'cha Eidus, and then the other aid said, Shvur She'ein Anu Yoidin L'cha Eidus. And they all said this in the span of time that it takes to say Shalom Aleich Rebbe. For Ekta Gemara, we have a technical problem here. Amalei Ravachami Diftu Ravina Mechti. Teich Kedei Dibur Kama Havi, what is the Shir of Teich Kedei Dibur? It is Kedei She'ilas Talmud L'Rav, three words, Shalom Aleich Rebbe, that amount of time. Now, you're telling me that both Eidim are going to make their statements of Shvur She'ein Anu Yoidim L'cha Eidus, one following the other within the amount of time that it takes to say Shalom Aleich Rebbe. That means the Eidim are going to have to speak very fast. Frek the Gemara, Adi Ami Shvur She'ein Anu Yoidim L'cha Eidus, to be Havi. How can you expect both Eidim to say the words Shvur She'ein Anu Yoidim L'cha Eidus, one after the other one, in the amount of time that it takes to say Shalom Aleich Rebbe? Amalei, so he told him, that's not what we mean. We don't mean one aid says the statement and the other aid denies it, all within the Teich Kedei Dibur time frame. The Mishnah means to say, Kol Echad, the Echad Teich Dibur Shel Chaveiro. Each aid can take as much time as he wants to pronounce the words Shavua She'ein Ani Yoidim L'cha Eidus. What we are requiring is that from the end of the statement of the first aid to the beginning of the statement of the second aid, there should not be an interval of Teich Kedei Dibur. That is all the Mishnah is saying. As long as one starts within Teich Kedei Dibur of the other one, that is considered Kafu Shnein Ki Achas, and they are both Chayiv. However, the Mishnah told us further, Zakhti Gemara Zaita, Bezeach Azeh, if more than a Teich Kedei Dibur passed in between the statements, in between the Kfiyus of the Eidim, then Harishin Chayiv V'Hasheini Pater, the second one is Pater. Being that this is already not considered Kafu Shnein Ki Achas, it turns out when the second aid got his turn to deny any knowledge for testimony, he was only an aid echad because the first aid passed himself already. And being that an aid echad is not royally hired anyhow, the second aid would not be chayv a carbon. Apparently our Mishnah would not work out with the sheet of Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon, as you will soon see. The Tanya we learned in the Braisa, Mashbia Eid Echad, if somebody is Mashbia a single aid to come and testify on his behalf, and that aid refuses to do so, Pater is Pater. The fact that this Eid Echad would not testify did not rob any of the litigants of some valid testimony, because regardless he would have just been an Eid Echad. But Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon, Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon says that he is Chayiv. Frek the Gemara, Lema v'Hakim Miflugi. Perhaps this is their dispute. The mass of the one man, the Yomer is of the opinion, Eid Echad Ki Asa L'Shvua, Hudik Asa. The only thing a single Eid can do is to be Mechayiv the other side to make a Shvua. But his testimony can't be Moitzi any Mamai, and therefore there is no Shvua for Eidus concept for an Eid Echad. Imasav, and that would be Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon, that Eid Echad Ki Asa L'Mamayna Ka Asa. Although the Torah emphatically states that the testimony of an Eid Echad should not be valid L'Chalovin or L'Chal Chatas, perhaps that is just to create a Chi of Malkus, or for a different Einshin. But as far as being Moitzi Mamayn, even an Eid Echad can do that according to Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon. And the Meila, he says that if you are Meshbiyah, an Eid Echad, that Eid Echad is Chayv and Shuas Eidus, because the refusal of his testimony is actually causing a monetary damage. Had the Eid Echad testified according to the Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon, we can be Moitzi Mam. But the Gemara doesn't accept this, that there is any man d'yama who is of the opinion that you can be Moitzi Mamayn with a single witness. The Tisber effect, the Gemara. Can you really think so? Halamar Abayah, now the Gemara is going to be very abstract and vague over here, because we are just looking for one nekuda in Abayah's statement. So in the next couple of lines, we are going to see very little about what Abayah actually says. An explanation of Abayah's words will be, as Hashem, be forthcoming at the bottom of this Amid and on Amid Beis. What the Gemara is going to show over here is that the basis for the machlokes between the Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon and the Chachamim, if or if not, a single aid would be Chayv Shvuas Eidus, has nothing to do with being Moitzi Mamayn the Eid Echad. How come Moedim that can't be done? It takes two Eidim to be Moitzi Mamayn. The inside of the machlokes between the Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon and the Rabbanan is telling you something else altogether. How do we know that? Because Amar Abaya, Abaya said, in regard to the machlokes of the Chacham and Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon, if a single aid would be chayv and shvuas aidus, you should know hakol moedim be aid saita. There is a case in regard to a single aid by a saita where everyone would be moedim, including the Chachamim, that he is chayv. the Hakomoidim be Edesaita. There is a case in regard to a dim, two Edim Edesaita, where everyone will be Moidim, including the Elizabeth of Shemin, that both Edim would be part of Shvus Edes. And yet, Umachloikis be Edesaita. The same Machloikis over here in regard to an Ed Echad, if or if not a Yishchai b'Shvus Edes, would apply itself to another case of Edesaita. In that particular case of Edesaita, there too we will have the Machloikis between the Elizabeth of Shemin and the Chachamim. Now, according to the way we are saying, that the machlokes between the Elazar of Shimon and the Chachamim is if or if not a single eid can be moitzi mamain, how can you possibly apply that to any case of two eidim in regard to Saita? And if Abaya does say that this same machlokes applies to two eidim in regard to Saita, surely the machlokes must be about something else altogether. Now, that is the point the Gemara is trying to make. First, we conclude what Abaya says. Abaya also says that Hakomoidin be Eidechad. There is one case of an Eidechad where the Gemara will explain later that the Elazar ben Shimon and the Chachamim don't disagree on. And the Hakomoidin be Eid Shekenegdai Chashad al Shvua, where the Kenegdai is Chashad al Shvua, and that too the Gemara will explain later. But the point is, as explained previously, clearly the Machloikis between the Elazar ben Shimon and the Chachamim is not, if or if not, an Eidechad can be Moitzi Mamai. If not, it would not be Shaykh to apply this anywhere else. Elinazak the Gemara, the Kuli Almi, everyone is of the opinion, Eid Echad Kiyasi, the only thing an Eid Echad could possibly be effective in, the Shvua Kasi, is to force the other person to make a Shvua. The Harcha Bihakim Ifugi, here there's a different machlokes. Masav Adavar Goyim Lamamin Kim Mamin Dami, U Masav Alav Kim Mamin Dami. Reuven El Shimon $100. We have a single late lady. If Levi will testify against Reuven, Reuven will be forced to swear. He may not want to swear falsely, and therefore he will have to pay. On the other hand, if Levi refuses to testify, and Reuven is not forced into a shua situation, he will not pay. So the Eid Echad is not directly being Maitzi Mama. It's not like two Eidim that make their testimony, Reuven owes money, Reuven has to pay. He is a cause to a possible extraction of funds, because the Eid Echad can effect the shua. And that's called Dabra Gaim Lamamin. The Elazar of Shimon says, even though he's only causing the extraction of funds, Dover Agoyim Lamamin is Kamamin Dami. And the Mela, should Levi refuse to testify, he is Chayiv and Shua Seidus. The Chacham, on the other hand, say no. The Eidim have to force the transfer of funds. If they are only indirectly forcing the transfer of funds or possibly doing so, then they are not in the parish of Shua Seidus, and the Mela, the Eid Echad, who only affects the Shua, would not be Chayiv Akadim for Shua Seidus, according to the Chacham. Now let us understand what Abaya actually said. Amar Abaya, these were the words as we have just learned them. Hakomoidin be Eid Saita. There is one case of an Eid Saita where everyone, including the Chacham, would be moided that this Eid Echad would be Chayim Shvus Eidus. And the Hakomoidin be Eid Saita, there are one set of Eid Saita where even the Chachamim would be moided that they are Pater from Shvus Eidus. Machloikis be Eide Saita. And there is one case of Eide Saita where the same Machloikis of a Eid Echad all over would apply itself over there to these two Eidim by Saita. In addition, Hakomoidin be Eid Echad, there is another case of Eid Echad Bechlau, where everyone would be Moide, this we will see later. And the Hakomoidin be Eid Shekenegdei Chashir al Ashvua, an Eid in regard to where the Kenegdei, where the other side is Chashir al Ashvua, and he will not be able to make a Shvua, and that too the Gemara will explain later. Now let us first understand the three cases of Saita. Now the Saita process is where the husband warns his wife in front of two Edim, I don't want you together with a certain individual. These Edim are called Edei Kinui. Should the wife then be together in an enclosed area with that individual for a Shir Yichud, that is called Stira, and Edim witnessing that would be Edei Stira. The woman now is offered to her husband until she drinks the special water, determining if or if not she is tar, because the Eidei Stira did not see any tumah; they just saw her together with that individual. Now, if we have two Eidim that say we saw the husband warn his wife, and we have another two Eidim that say we saw this woman together with that man alone, and then another Eid appears and he says, I actually saw tumah, not only Stira, I didn't just see her together with that individual, I am testifying that there were relations between them. Even though he is an Eid Echad, being that he comes after Kini the Stira, the Psukim tell us, the way the Gemara dashes the Psukim, we learn from there that she automatically loses her Ksuba and she is Aser. This Eid Echad that comes after Kini the Stira is believed. Now let us see the Gemara inside. Hakol Moedim, there is one case, the Eid Saita, with a single Eid of a Saita, Shechayev, that he has surely Chayev Shvus Eidis. Who is that? The Eid Tum. It's the Eid Tum. In this particular case, the single Eid with his testimony has the power to say that the woman is Aser, and she automatically loses her Ksuba. This is not Dabar HaGoyim L'Mamon, this is actual Mamon. The Rechmana Hine, because the Torah said that an Eid Echad after Kini V'Stira is to be believed. The Chassid of the Pasuk says, the Eid Ein Ba, and the Gemara Dashens Kol Sheyesh Ba. Now Rashi explains how exactly the Gemara Dashens the Pasuk, but the point is, we see from the Pasuk that if there is a single Eid after Kini V'Stira, he has the power to make her lose her Ksuba. So Hakol Moedim, even the Chacham, in regard to this single Eid, if he knows testimony and he refuses to testify, he is Vadi Chayev Karm V'Shua to Eid. In addition, Abaye said, the Yaakov Moedim, there is a case where everyone is Moedim, including the beloved of Shimon, the Eidei Saita, even in regard to two Eidim that will refuse to testify in regard to a Saita, Shapata, that they are part from the carbon of Shua Saitas. Which two Eidim are they? The Eidei Kinui, these are the Eidei Kinui, the first stage in the Saita process. Because they have a Goyim de Goyim, they are not only a Goyim Lamaman, they are a Goyim de Goyim Lamaman. What happens when the Eidei Kinui testify? This means they paved the way for step two, for the Eidei Stira to come. But who says there are going to be any Eidei Stira? Even if the Eidei Stira do come, she still doesn't lose her Ksuba. Until either another Eid Echad comes and he actually says that he saw the Tumma, or she has to drink the special water. But whatever the case is, Eidei Kinui are two steps behind this. So their lack of testimony cannot be considered as causing the result of a loss of funds, because they are too far removed. And Hakol Moedim, even the beloved of Shimon, that they can't be chayav a carbon for Shua Se'edis. Zach the Gemara Vayta, we turn now to Amud Beis. O Machloikis, the Eidei Saita, where do we apply the same Machloikis of the regular Eidei Echad to Eidei Saita? The Eidei Stira. The Eidei Stira are a step further than the Eidei Kinoi, and therefore it is a much more critical testimony. If the Eidei Stira testify that they saw the Stira, they saw the woman together with this man that she was warned to stay away from, she automatically becomes Aser until she drinks the water. This is precisely the same Machlokes as a regular Eidei Echad. Masav Adavar Agoyim L'Mamon K'Mamon Dami Zechayis U'Masav Alav K'Mamon Dami Yipat. The Baal Kentayna, if you would have testified to the Stira that you saw, she would have been forced to drink the water. She would have been frightened to drink it, she would have been moited that she was mezana, and therefore I wouldn't have to pay the ksuba. That is identical to the regular Eid Echad, where the Baldin Tainis, had you testified on my behalf, my Baldin would have had to swear, he would have been scared to swear, and he would have been moited. So in both cases, we have the exact machlaikis. The Elizabeth of Shimon says, Davar agoyim l'mamin kim mamin dami, you caused me a damage, and the melee should be chayiv and shua se'edis. And the Chachamim say, no, this is not shua se'edis. The fact that he could have indirectly caused the damage, Davar agoyim l'mamin, they say, is lav kim mamin dami. Now, there were two more cases where Abaye said that the Elizabeth of Shimon and the Chacham would agree on. He said, Hakol Moedim, b'shekeneg de chashud ala shvua, and Hakol Moedim be Eid Echad Dereb Abba. The Gemara is going to explain both. Hakol Moedim b'shekenegdoi chashud al shvua. Let us say that Reuven owes Shimon $500. Reuven already has a history of swearing falsely. He is a chashud al shvua. Shimon now has an Eid Echad that testifies that Reuven owes him $100. That means that Reuven should have to swear. But Reuven can't swear because he is a chashud al shvua. So the halacha is that this is one of the nishboin of a neutler. In most cases, swearing is used to patter oneself. In an ordinary case, Reuven over here, who has an Eid Echad that is claiming that he does owe $500, would have to swear that he does not owe. In this case, however, being that Reuven cannot swear because he has a history of swearing falsely, the shvua goes over to Shimon. Shimon will now have to swear that indeed Reuven owes him the money, and he will be able to collect the money. Zakti Gemara. Abaye tells us, Hakol Moedim, even the Chacham would be Moedim, b'shekenegdei chashud al shvua. In this type of a case, where if the Eid Echad comes and testifies, Reuven will not be able to swear in his defense. But Shimon will have the opportunity to swear and collect the money. Should the Eid Echad refuse to come and testify on Shimon's behalf, he will be chayiv, a carbon for shvua se'edus. Frek, the Gemara, the chashud man, let us understand clearly over here, who is the one that is chashud al shvua? Ilema de chashid loiva, that it is the loiva, Ruvain, which is the obvious thing to say. And Shimon's claim to the aid is, the Amalei Malva Shimon is going to say, Iyasi says hadasli, if you would have came and testified on my behalf, have a mishtadana v'shakilna. I could have sworn, because Ruvain would have not been able to swear, he is a chashid al ashur, and then I could have taken my money. Memela, by your refusal to testify, you caused me a direct loss of my funds. Frek de Gemara, but this isn't really direct. Volei malei, let the aid say, mi yeme de mishtabata. Abai wants to say that even the Chachamim, who hold that the Dover Agoyim Lamamin Lav Kamamin Dami, this isn't Agoyim at all. By this aid's refusal of testimony, Shimon Vade lost the money. But the aid container, if with my testimony the money would have automatically left Reuven's hand, then you can say that I was a direct cause to the loss of your money. But there was another step necessary over here. You would have had to have sworn. Indeed, Reuven couldn't have sworn on his behalf because he's a chashid al ashur. But still, Shimon, you would have had to have made a shur that he owes you the money. And the male, according to the Chacham, who say, Dover agoyim l'mamay, laugh k'mami dami, the aid container, at best you can say, I robbed him of the opportunity to swear and collect the money. But I am still a goyim. And therefore, according to the Chacham, he should not be chayv shur to aid us. So why does the Bayi say in this case, hakol moidem, even the Chacham, that he should be chayv? Elin, azok the Gemara, the case is, kigon sheshneyin chashudin. Neither Reuven, who owes the money, or Shimon, who is demanding the money, can swear. Both of them have a record of swearing falsely. So what happens now? Azok the Gemara, the Yomar Mah, the master said, in this case, chazra shvua l'mechuyivwa. There's an eid echad over here. The eid echad should force the loiva to swear. But the loiva can't swear on his behalf, on his defense, because he's a chashud al shvua. So the next step is for the Malva to swear. But the Malva can't swear either, because he too is a Chashid al Shvua. So the Halacha is, we come back to square one. The original person that has to make the Shvua now is the Loiva on his own behalf. And we add, Umitaych She'en Yochel Ishava, because he can't swear, then Mashalmi have to pay. Reuven, the Loiva, cannot just walk away free, because there is an Eid Echad Kenegdai. He has to either offer a shvua or tashlumin, or pay up. A shvua is impossible over here, because both are chashid al shvua, therefore he has to pay. And that's what Abaye says, even though generally the Chacham are of the opinion that an eid echad who can only be mechayev a shvua is not chayev a shvua to eid, should he refuse to testify because he is only a goyrein, over here he is not a goyrein, because in this case, being that both are chashid al shvua, had he testified, Reuven would have had to have paid immediately, and by his lack of testimony, this is a direct hezek, and that is why he is chayiv and shvua se'edus. The last case that Abaye gave us was that hakol moidim, everyone is moide be eid echad d'rab abba. Even here, the chacham would be moide that the eid echad has to pay. Now what is this case? So the Gemara, the story was as follows. Yahu garba, there was this person, the chot of nischa michavrei, who just grabbed away a piece of silver from his friend. Us lakamad Avami, they came before Avami, and Aviyasa Vavaba Kameh, Vavaba was sitting there as well. So let us say once again that Reuven grabbed a slab of silver away from Shimon. Azal Aisi Chatzad, Shimon went, and he brought a single aid, the Michtu Chatzamine. This aid is testifying, yes, I saw Reuven go and grab the silver away from Shimon. Amalei, so Reuven says, and yes, it's true. Chatzi, I grabbed it. But v'didi chatzi, I grabbed it because it belonged to me. It was my slab of silver. Shimon stole this silver from me to start with. That is why I grabbed it back. Amar Avami, so Avami said, Heichal adayni dayni lihaydina. How should judges rule a case like this? L'shalit, should I say Reuven has to pay? Because generally, once we prove that a person stole something, he is not believed when he says, I stole my own thing, because in that case, every goblin in the world is going to claim that. But that is fair and well if we can prove that Reuven grabbed it. Over here, Leka Trey Sadi, Reuven is not in that position because we don't have two witnesses that say Reuven grabbed it. Lifterek, let us say perhaps we should believe Reuven, because under ordinary circumstances, if Shimon had no aid, and Shimon would come to court and say, Reuven grabbed my silver, and Reuven will answer on his behalf, it is true, I grabbed it, but I grabbed my own because Shimon stole it from me, he would believe Reuven, because he has a migli. Reuven can argue, if I wanted to lie, all I had to do was to say that it's not true, I never grabbed it. Shimon has no proof that I grabbed it. Memela, if Reuben admits that he did graft, but it was his own, we believe him. But we can't apply that rationale over here because I ikachad sadid emichtav chatev. Reuben cannot tain that if I wanted to lie, I had a better lie. I could have just said I never took it. There is a single eight over here that says he saw you take it. If you were to outright say that you didn't take it, you would have to swear to that effect. So mainly you want to avoid that, and you're saying, yes, you did take it, but it's yours. But we should believe you. Should we say, let Reuben swear to what he is saying? We can't do that. Because Kibin de Omar, and yes, Chatvi, I grabbed it, v'didi Chatvi, but I grabbed my own, havalikei gazlin. The Eidecha that is coming over here knows nothing about the origin of this silver. He knows only one thing. I saw Reuben grab this piece of silver from Shimon. Being, however, that he is only an Eidecha, Reuben has the option of swearing that it's not true, and will totally dismiss the testimony of the Eidechot. But that's not what's happening over here, because Reuben is saying it is true. Now, once Reuben says it is true, that means we can't dismiss the testimony of the Eidechot, because Reuben is not swearing against it. So once we accept the testimony of the Eidechot, we have to deal with the facts that we have. The fact is that we now have a valid testimony that implies Reuben is a gazlan. Once that is established, we cannot accept the shvua from Reuven now that I swear it is my own thing that I grabbed. Every gazlan in the world is going to make that shvua. There are eidim that saw me steal it, but you should know I swear that it's my own thing. We don't accept that shvua. The only option of shvua that Reuven has is to refute the testimony of an eid echad. And he didn't do that over here because he admitted that he did take it. Once he admits that he took it, he's a gazlan, and he can't swear any longer. The Mela concludes the Gemara. It turns out that Reuben, in this case, he is a Mechuyev Shvua. He has to swear that he never took it. The Ein Yochel Yishava, he can swear that because he admitted that he did take it. The Ein Yochel Yishava, Mishalim, he has to pay. And the Mela Abaye says, this is another scenario, another case of where we have an Eidechot. Should this Eidechot refuse to come and testify against Reuben after Reuben admitted already that he took it, but it was his own, even the Chachamim would say the Eidechot would be Chai v'Shvus Eidus, because he is causing a direct damage by not coming. Should he come, Reuven would have to pay instantly.